Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Hoss, along with the Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And they're all tough, sir. We understand that. No matter if you lead in the second half, come back in the second half. Last two home games, you've had your opportunities, as Coach Rizzi will say, we had opportunities, but kind of in the end, you know, it's about the final score and your record, and that's just challenging.
Yeah, look, every loss is a tough loss. And when you walk away with a win, no matter how you got it, you're going to have a smile on your face and you're going to feel good about yourself. And if you lose, then you're going to spend, you know, the next 24 hours in the tank. And then you got to get over it and move on to the next game.
So how it's there's three games left. And, you know, when you kind of look at this season, and you know, it's not, you fight until they tell you you can't fight anymore. I get that, man. But one score games, it feels like that has become the NFL. You guys were involved in one score games in 3, 4, 9, 10, 13, 14, and week 15. I mean, those typically tell the difference between, you know, how things will turn out. Correct.
Yeah, well, look, I think we're I think we've had 8 one-score games. I think we're 2-6 in those games. You know, for example, Kansas City, I think they've had 10 one-score games and they're 10-0. And so, and then everyone in our league is you know, on that spectrum, right? And the teams that are have good records for the most part in those 1-score games, and the other ones don't. And look, it comes down to the one-score games come down to one or two plays in a game that you make or they make. And we haven't made enough of those plays in a lot of those games. And, you know, I look back at this game. I look back at Atlanta, the first Atlanta game, the Philadelphia game. I mean, we're one play away from you know, having a win instead of a loss, and in the season we're looking at the season completely differently. And that, you know, that's typically the case every year. But I think for the most part, you know, those one score games end up being 50-50 on the season. And you need to at least be that to give yourself a chance, and we're not.
And you know, there's a lot of character and a lot of gut, you know, in that game. I mean, in the Washington takes the third quarter, second half drive. They get a field goal, but it takes 6:48. So, you know, they're up 17-0. The time of possession at that point is 27 minutes to 9:52, and Spencer Rattler hadn't taken a snap yet, but he's getting ready to come into the game. And that game could have gone a bunch of different directions at that juncture. And four possessions in the second half, two touchdowns, two field goals. Again, I understand that the fans are upset. I get all that. But in the building, it's about evaluation and character and not quitting. And I mean, you saw all of that on Sunday.
Yeah. Look, at that point in the game, the juncture you're talking about, the game was only going one direction, and it was down. Let's not kid ourselves. And yet, man, our coaches and players found a way to reach down inside and display some grit and some toughness and to keep fighting. And you know, when you do that, you know, good things can happen. And look, we gave ourselves a chance to win the game at the end. And unfortunately, one play short.
The defense, you know, if you kind of look at just the numbers against Jaden Daniels, I mean, it was kind of not feast or famine, but 8 sacks, 6 quarterback hits. But, and we can talk about the running and the impact of those big run plays, but and his ball placement for a rookie just seemed exceptional on Sunday.
Yeah, look, he did a nice job. He was 25 of 31. I think there was a large portion of the game where he was like only 2 incompletions. You know, a lot of them were short passes. You know, things that the defense forced him to do, check down and do some things. He did some good things with his legs. You know, none of that's unexpected. But I thought our defense did a really good job of keeping their offense contained for the most part. But listen, you know, great players are going to make, they're going to make some plays, you know, and you have to counter with, you know, good plays of your own. So I don't think anything that he did was unexpected. Look, he's got great poise. Great poise in particular for a rookie quarterback, and they've done a great job coaching him, and they've got, you know, good players around him, and that's why they've got a good record.
We'll have more with Saints Executive VP and General Manager Mickey Loomis when we come back. And a little later in the show, we'll have former Saints tight end and now SEC analyst Ben Watson. A lot to talk about on both the NFL and collegiate fronts. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. I don't know what you can say definitively. I know there's 3 games left. Derek Carr's reexamination. He might get back, might not get back, but it may look now like he, you know, take each game as they come. But it feels like it's a little more serious.
Well, look, he's going to be day to day, really. You know, he's got an issue in his hand, and there's reason to be optimistic. But it's a day-to-day thing. We just have to go along and see, you know, when he gets to the point where he can function well enough to play in the game. I know it's he wants to play, and when he can, he will.
So the 2nd and 6 and manageable becomes 2nd and 11. Alvin is the deep back and now goes in motion back to throw as Rattler steps up, throws it across the middle, looking for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who comes up with the catch at the 20-yard line. Wow, good coverage by Washington. He misses the easy ones, but made the hard one, and wow.
And I don't know how he got this football. I mean, he's focused on it. You've got one safety that's bearing down to make the interception, and the defender, you know, I don't even think he saw the football, but I mean, you're exactly right. Your quarterback climbs the pocket, and he trusts, hey, I'm gonna see if my guy can make a play, and he definitely made the play for him.
Here we go.
I'm looking for my back. I'm looking for my back in the flat.
One play.
If I can't have some type of rub route here, that's what I'm looking for.
Spencer Rattler out of the shotgun. Looks to throw, stands, does throw. Caught!
corner of the end zone, and that's Foster Moreau. The Saints have climbed all the way back, but not yet. They're down one.
And they're going for two.
What did you learn about Spencer Rattler Sunday?
Yeah, I think that, a lot of times when you come into a game, you don't have a lot of time to think. You're in there and you're just playing. And I thought that, he did that. He came in, he made some plays. I thought he was poised. He made a couple throws that could have gone either way, but they were good throws. And we had guys on the other end making plays for him. And that was good. It was good outing. It was good for him, good for his confidence. And he provided a spark for us that we needed.
And so moving forward, you fight until you can't fight anymore, until they tell you you are out. And I would normally say, well, you really want to take a look at some of the younger players, but you look at Kool-Aid and Fuaga and really Bub means some, but at some point, you're going to get a look at Jalen Ford now because DeMarco Jackson's been hurt. There really isn't, other than maybe the quarterback situation where you go, all right, what do we have in Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler if Derek doesn't go, right? I mean, those other guys, Jalen Ford, maybe Christian Boyd, but everybody else is playing because of the injury situation. Do you need these final three games, hypothetically, if Derek doesn't go, to kind of see where you are with these two young quarterbacks?
Well, I would say that, number one, we're going to try to win every game. That's what we're here for. We're going to do everything we can to win every single game. We don't have much of an option in terms of, playing young guys and evaluating the other guys on our roster. We've just had this avalanche of injuries that have happened over the course of this season, and we've had to play a lot of guys that, we didn't have an expectation that they would play as much on offense and defense. It's been forced upon us. And obviously, if they're playing, you get an opportunity to evaluate them, and they get an opportunity to develop. And there's a lot to play for. There's a lot of development to play for that we still have a chance. And so we're going to give everything that we've got as an organization, and our players and coaches are going to do the same.
Got another little sample size of Kendre Miller Sunday as well, especially on that final drive. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we know Kendre is a talented runner, and the only thing that held him back to date is just opportunity given some of the injuries that he's had. So it was good to see him get out there, have some success. He had 9 carries for roughly 50 yards at the 5-yard plus average. That's good running. He made yards after contact. He did some good things, and there's some things that he needs to improve upon. And this will be an opportunity going forward for him to get on field experience. It's a big deal for him. This is it's a big deal for all of these players that are playing to play well and develop and help determine their future.
So here's a tough one, and I'm not trying to be coy, but is there any question, realistically, that I could ask about the coaching situation, the search, that wouldn't really get an answer of like, it's a process. We're in that process, right? I'm trying to figure out what the question would be of them. What is, where does it stand?
Yeah, well, that's a process that's going to happen after the season's over. We're going to focus our attention on this week's game against Green Bay, and then the following two games, and the the coaching search will happen. After the season, I want to be fair to our coaching staff and to Darren Rizzi, who I think is doing a fantastic job. And, we'll deal with next year after the season's over.
Need to take a break. We'll have more with Mickey Loomis, Saints Executive VP and General Manager, when we come back. Talk a little bit about Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
6 of 8 are the Commanders on third down. To throw is Daniels. Now he's got some pressure, and he's going to get caught and brought down by Ugo Amadi, who just stood in front of him and would not let him. And Darren Rizzi races down the line to get that timeout, just as Deuce asked for it. But wow, Ugo He just kind of stood in front of him and was like, nope.
He stood, and then I'm just going to hold you. You know, I'm gonna almost like hold you up. And so you're bigger than me. You're way bigger than me. And so the Saints did bring pressure. They showed simulated pressure, and the extra guy came off the edge. And so Ugo was one of those extra guys off of the edge. And, you know, the Saints have had some success against Jaden Daniels. He's had a lot of time back there. And so it looks like pressure, but it ends up being four, but it's an overload to one side. And so you talk about having, what, five sacks?
Yeah, five sacks. That one was for 14 yards.
Just a couple of more questions with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Tell me about a little bit more about Ugo Amadi. I know he's an Oregon kid, so I know automatically you love him. But, wow, you know, week one doesn't play, week two, seven defensive snaps, plays in week eight. But in his last, you know, since week 10, you know, a sack, 41 tackles, 31 solo, four tackles for a loss, five passes defense. You know, he's 5'9", you know, 201. He just seems to he's like one of those. He's a football player. He's one of those guys that just plays football.
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, I am a little biased because he isn't from the University of Oregon, so, you know, my affinity for that place. But, you know, here's a guy who's a smart player. He's almost always in the right place at the right time, knows what to do, knows how to do it, is coachable. He's going to give you everything he has, every single moment that he's on the field. And, you know, that lends itself to making plays, and he's done that. And we've got, you know, he's not the only one. We've got a number of guys that have had to fill in and have done a good job. I think that, you know, Alante was playing at a high level as the nickel and has had to move outside because of the injuries, and he's done really good work out there. Kool-Aid, you know, come in as a rookie, and man, he's improved every week. So I think that, you know, it speaks to the effort and the ability of these guys to step in and do a job when maybe they didn't expect to have to do that. But you're absolutely right about Ugo. He's done a fantastic job for us, and man, I'm glad we have him.
And finally, and Coach Rizzi said this, man, if you can't get up for Monday Night Football in December at Lambeau Field, but who knows, 20s, 30s, snow, I mean, this is what kind of football is all about. Irrespective of the records, you want to be better. And it's an important game for them. You're going to get the best that they have.
Yeah, look, it's we've had some good battles with the Packers in recent years. And you know, it seems like we're always playing the game at their place. So
that's true.
It's nice to be able to play one or two of those in the Superdome. But, yeah, it's going to be a good environment. It's always a great environment at Lambeau Field. And Monday Night Football, you know, we won't have to worry about motivation. Our guys will be ready to go, and you know, we'll see what happens.
And last time you were there, one score game. So we'll see. We appreciate it, Mickey. Best of luck and continued success through the holidays.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.